This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. With the primary election coming up tomorrow, candidates are in full campaign mode across the state. This year, there are no statewide primary races on the ballot, but candidates are running for congressional primaries, legislative seats, and a number of local positions like sheriff and county attorney. Here to give us the rundown on some of the races to watch, WUNC Managing Editor Dave DeWitt. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Frank.
Here we are talking about primaries in an off-year election. What could be more mind-numbing? And yet, if you think about how important the November election is going to be, these primaries are very interesting. And if you look at the overview, some fairly interesting statistics this year.
Yeah, you know, it used to be, and not too long in the, you know, in the past, that, you know, the primaries were, if someone won the primary, they were essentially assured of a seat going into the fall. But that seems to be a little bit less the case this year. We've seen more Democrats running for legislative races, just pick those. In fact, every single legislative race in the state has a Democratic person running, which is a first in a long time. Nobody can really remember how long. Republicans have somebody running in every single race except one race, and even that, they have the unaffiliated person who's running is sort of a GOP-related. So that makes the races more competitive in the fall, but it also makes more primaries here in tomorrow, as you mentioned. And one of the interesting stats that the League of Women Voters put out was in 2016, 24 women ran for state legislative races across the state. This year, 119 women are running for state house and senate.
In 2 years, we go from 24 to
119
in just 2 years.
Women, that's right.
A number of women voting.
That's right. And so that tells you there are, maybe it's a new generation, but certainly more people feel that legislative races are within sort of things they can go after, things that they could possibly win.
Yeah, and it's very interesting, too, because with gerrymandered districts under assault, the fact is most of them are still in place. So, you know, for a long time, it was the Democrats who had absolute power, and it was the primary. There was everything. Now the Republicans, because of gerrymandering. And yet, because of the volatility of politics these days, even with that, apparently all this is in play.
And it makes you think that sort of blue wave is sort of there's more to it than just talk on CNN, that there's a lot more energy on the Democratic side, potentially, in some of these races. Now, that doesn't mean they'll translate into seats in the fall, but it's certainly showing up in the primary.
All right, what about congressional races? What should we be watching?
There aren't many interesting congressional races or primaries, now that all said, but there are a couple. And what's interesting about them is there are a couple seats in the fall that Democrats believe they can flip. And because of that, it makes some of these primaries a little more interesting, particularly in the U.S. House District 2. That's a seat that's currently held by Republican George Holding. Many people believe it still leans Republican, but it could be up in play. And there are three Democrats running for the primary. Wendy Ella May is the first transgender woman to run for Congress in North Carolina. Linda Coleman, who lost the lieutenant governor race in 2016. And Ken Ronley, a Raleigh businessman. One of them will challenge George Holding in the fall. And that, many people believe, is one of probably three seats that could be up for possible flipping from Republican to Democrat.
Let's talk about some interesting local races as well. Buncombe County, you have a sheriff's race. The incumbent is not running, and you've got a number of candidates who are running in the primary. Interesting because of the news in that state having to do with the Asheville Police Department.
Yeah, the city of Asheville back last August, Asheville police officer beat an unarmed black man. That body cam footage didn't come out until earlier this year when the Asheville Citizen Times published it. And the sheriff's office had nothing to do with that incident in particular, but it is now a countywide race for an officer of the law. So now you've got a situation where all five candidates are really influenced by that issue, whether it's community communication or, you know, other issues that are sort of associated with those kinds of incidents, and they all have to sort of run on that topic. The Democrat who wins usually wins the Buncombe County sheriff, although certainly isn't a slam dunk there. So that makes this primary even more important.
All right. And again, and in what is at least with Asheville, a typically traditionally liberal-leaning kind of a city. Also, Durham is that kind of a city where everybody kind of runs to the left of each candidate in the primary. And that's happening fascinatingly in a sheriff's race and the county attorney.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating race on the local level with both the sheriff and the district attorney because both incumbents were caught up in the Confederate Monument case. And that is believed to be a major driver. There's immigration issues and some other local community policing issues. But On August 14th, that monument got torn down. The sheriff, Mike Andrews, immediately sort of pledged justice will happen. He had initially charged 9 people, or the DA did. 3 cases went to court. The judge threw them out. Then all the other cases were dismissed. That leads up to now, and you've got a lot of folks who believe that that case should never have been put forward. They thought it was a righteous thing to do to take down the monument. And so you've got 3 major PACs in Durham, the Committee on the Affairs of Black People, People's Alliance, Friends of Durham. They're splitting those endorsements among those candidates. Now, Roger Eccles, the DA incumbent, has 2. Satana DeBerry has another 1. And none of those PACs went for Mike Andrews, the sheriff. And that will be fascinating. This in a low turnout election, likely tomorrow, those PACs have huge sway. And so it'll be interesting to see incumbent-wise who you know, is able to survive.
Another interesting race in the Triangle, one that you've been watching closely, is a legislative race, that for District 11, where Representative Dwayne Hall is the incumbent.
Dwayne Hall, yes, District 11. Now, you remember Dwayne Hall was accused in a February article on North Carolina Policy Watch of, quote, persistent sexual innuendo and, in some instances, unwanted sexual overtures. Governor Democratic Roy Cooper, State Democratic Party, called for Hall to resign immediately. He did not. And so what has happened? Allison Dahl is his challenger for the Democratic primary. She filed on the last day you could file to be a candidate. And initially, she didn't really challenge Dwayne Hall and sort of, you know, diminish his actions or his alleged actions. But she has since done so, and she's been a little more aggressive. Dwayne Hall is really the first person in the state and maybe sort of nationwide to sort of come up for reelection as somebody caught up in the Me Too movement. And it'll be interesting to see. You know, he says, let's put it to the voters. They can decide instead of letting Democrats and the party leaders decide. And that's what they'll decide tomorrow.
Dave DeWitt, UN WNC Managing Editor, thank you so much.
My pleasure.